Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 412. Tonight we talk wrestling news, Dynasty recap, Raw review, and NXT necessities. I couldn't think of an N-word. Anyway, with me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey and fellas. How the hell are you?
Oh, man, the one time you pop your can, I was on a night I already popped mine, so I guess I'll just have to try it again. But well, I thought I had cracked a rib a couple days ago, but thankfully that turned out to be not the case. I was on my chair with some very large wooden armrests, but I'm back to normal here. I had a heck of a pay-per-view for AEW. And a very eventful Raw to talk about. So, yeah, ready to get into it.
Well, I haven't cracked any ribs, so that's always good. Unfortunately, the Jets are down 4-2 going into the third, so I may explode on Mike unintentionally. You know, I've got a hockey Tourette's, so if I do, I apologize ahead of time. But let's get into the wrestling, shall we?
And if I understand it right, hockey games, there's only three periods, right? Not four, right?
Correct, sir.
Unless there's overtime.
Right.
All right. Well, let's get into the wrestling news. So we had those talent releases in the WWE on Friday that were announced during SmackDown, and we got one additional name that was in the same group from Friday announced yesterday, and then we got an additional release today. So the release from Friday's group that was made public on Monday was NXT's Von Wagner. Now, what's interesting about this is the reason given is because he was listed as a main roster talent because he was drafted last year, but he wasn't on the main roster, so that's why they let him go. Isn't that your choice? Yeah. What kind of lame excuse is that?
I don't know, but with Von Wagner, I mean, it's actually two releases because Von Wagner's a tag team in his own right. You get Von Wagner and his impressive forehead. Back in the day, that guy would have had a headbutt for a finisher.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Next time you see a picture of him, look, that guy's got an impressive head.
Next!
And then today's release was Cameron Grimes, who released a video saying how it was always his dream to wrestle for WWE. And if he's got to go back out and do it somewhere else and prove his worth and his value, then that's what he's going to do. So yeah. I always liked his recent character and gimmick in NXT. I think he should have been used more on SmackDown where he was. And I thought maybe he would have been drafted over to Raw to give him another chance. But I guess that's not to be.
Yeah, having him go from like the caveman to the $1 million caveman, I thought was one of the best gimmick upgrades in forever. Now, I'm familiar with his work before WWE. He spent a lot of time in TNA and the NWA, like the remaining NWA names. Obviously, this was before Billy Corgan bought the NWA name. So he's going to be fine. He could step right back into TNA and he'd be a contender there. I could even see him maybe as a junior in New Japan. So yeah, I mean, if you really wanted to keep seeing him on WWE TV, obviously probably be disappointed for that. But yeah, this guy's story is not done. He's entering a new chapter.
See, this was a guy that I never got into because the character for me just didn't work. And he was, you know, he was instant fast forward TV for me. So never really did watch a lot of him other than, you know, enough to turn me off of the character and I stopped watching him. But it's never, you know, it's never great to have people lose jobs. So I hope that he picks something up and maybe comes up with a new version of himself that I would like.
And in other news, today, April 23rd, marks 500 days for Athena's reign as Ring of Honor Women's Champion. So congratulations out to Athena. She is currently the longest reigning champion of all the major promotions since Roman's loss.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive. Loss.
And finally, in an interesting bit of news that may or may not tie into wrestling, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, votes to ban non-compete clauses that bar employees from working for competitors. So there's no immediate word if this impacts wrestlers, as they are independent contractors and not employees. But this has been saying that it's getting rid of non-compete clauses across the board, United States, you know, statewide. So it will be interesting to see if this holds true for wrestlers, because that would mean as soon as somebody gets released, they could literally show up on somebody else's programming the next show.
As far as the wrestling landscape goes, just assume that this applies to everybody. So it's going to be really interesting to see that, like you said, Josh, it could be, you know, somebody's last show on Raw and they show up on Dynamite 2 days later. It could happen. It could happen the other way too. It's somebody's last show on Dynamite and they show up on SmackDown. So if this is all true and the floodgates can potentially open here a little bit, watch for surprises. Yeah. And this is going to be truly like, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but you just sparked a thought there, because it's like, if this does reach out to wrestling and all that, that is actually something that would put the pendulum in the control of the talent, because one of the things about getting released from a contract, at least with WWE, is there's usually that 90-day no compete. So, and I've heard sometimes they can waive that and sometimes they can't. It depends on what's signed. But now, if somebody wants to get released, that would probably make it less likely that they'd be released, because that means they could potentially hop over to the competing show. So
what it would also put an end to is being buried leading up to your release or the end of your contract, because we're like, oh, we're going to bury you, and then 90 days are going to go by and people are going to forget about you, and then you're not going to be a hot commodity. Well, that could be gone. So interesting to keep an eye on that situation. So AEW had Dynasty, a pay-per-view over the weekend on Sunday, and I did not see it myself. And so I will give you some of the highlights overall, and then those who saw it can speak about it. There were title changes. Bullet Club Gold are now your Unified Trios champions. Willow Nightingale is your new TBS champion. The Young Bucks are the AEW Tag Team champions. And Swerve Strickland is your brand new AEW World champion. We had a match of the year candidate in Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay, as we all said that we would leading up to this. We had, once again, a post-show scrum that featured a Toni Storm prepared statement that was just gold. I mean, for all the negativity surrounding AEW, and as much as I've soured on it a little bit, there's always the beacon that is timeless Toni Storm. And I just love this character so much. And then I'll let you guys have at it while I get the predictions results opened up, because I know Jared's dying for me to make this public.
I was humbly waiting by.
This show was worth every penny, and I can say that because I did order the show. I would never condone streaming, but because, I mean, streaming, I know people like to do that, but for me personally, it's much cooler to be able to just pay the money, watch on a big screen in a big comfy chair that you may or may not be able to crack your rib on, but it's just a much better viewing experience. And like I said, I'm a capitalist. You know, I'll give people money if I like their product. And so many great matches on this show. I think I've probably, except for maybe some of the big New Japan matches or shows over the years, this may be the one that had like the highest percentage of good to great matches. There's probably definitely going to be on my list for match of the year at the end of the year is going to be the much ballyhooed of Brian Danielson, Will Ospreay match. Everything about that was ready. I did wince at some of the big spots there, but there's a couple things that I can't believe I didn't think about. And maybe it's what you guys thought about when you made your predictions about, you know, the Young Bucks and how it was Jack Perry that helped them win. It just makes sense given the background if we are tying things back to CM Punk and just kind of making a storyline reason for why Jack Perry might have interfered. And also the six-man tag match, well, the second one, the one that was not a title match that had House of Black and Copeland and all them. The finish was Malakai Black misting Adam Copeland and getting the pin. Now, obviously that sets up Malakai for a title match down the road, presumably at the pay-per-view. But what has happened to most, if not all, the people that Malakai Black has misted? They wind up being corrupted by it, most notably Julia Hart. And it happened to an extent with Willow, but I think they didn't really explain it clearly, but I think she was just able to somehow break through of it because she was such a positive person. Now, those are my own assumptions, not anything I can base that off of in storyline. So I think we may have for the next couple months an Edge that is, or Adam Copeland, that is slowly getting corrupted and slowly turning evil. Maybe we'll see a flash of the Brood type Adam Copeland that we kind of got a little bit of in during his WWE run. But once I saw that, and once I realized what that could have been, I was like, holy, this is the most logical way to go. And the main event, even though I know I made the prediction for Joe to retain, I am perfectly happy with Swerve being the champion. Now, I think the Mogul Embassy is still going to turn on him at some point, maybe even possibly this week. And the ladder match was, I mean, it was a Young Bucks ladder match. It was what you expect. So really, top to bottom, a great show. I'm not saying that as an AEW fan. I just think just as a wrestling show, this is the type of show that I think I could show to somebody who's only watched WWE. I can show them at least parts of this event, and hopefully it would show them why AEW is an alternative to WWE, because there really wasn't that much stuff that was a WWE style presentation. So yeah, like I said, thumbs up all around. It's well worth $50 and definitely kind of washed the bad taste out of my mouth of everything with the footage being shown and all the stuff regarding Punk and that controversy. So that show exceeded in every way.
I had this on at the same time that the Jets were playing game one against the Colorado Avalanche. And that show was a goddamn track meet, and it was 13 goals by the end of the game. So I didn't really pay a ton of attention until the game was over. But for me, if you look at Ospreay and Brian Danielson, was obviously the match of the night, if not a leading candidate for match of the year. I wanted to ask you both what you thought of the end of that match, which driver it was, whether it was a Tiger driver or a Storm driver. I think they called it a Storm driver, but they lost their mind about how, Brian landed on the back of his head, neck. The replay to me looked like he was on his shoulders, but you know, he kind of laid there kind of paralyzed at the end of the match. You saw his hand kind of gripped and locked at his chest, and Ospreay didn't really know what was going on. He didn't see the medical call. He drills him with the hidden blade, wins the match. If you listen to the What Culture guys, they thought that perhaps that was all a work. And I wanted to ask you both what you thought of that. Was that a real Brian injury, or are we watching a really elaborate work here?
I feel the need to play the Four Seasons song working my way back to you, babe. Because yeah, it was 100% a work. I haven't really heard anything otherwise. I did hear Brian Alvarez talk about the match, and he said that is a safe landing, or about as safe as you can expect for being dropped. So it sounds like this is just an angle to build towards another match down the road. Because during the scrum, Will Ospreay said he's retiring. I think it was the Tiger Driver 91, I think is what they called it. Same move a couple months ago that they criticized Ospreay for using on Kenny Omega. I remember the social media just erupting at that. So I think we can rest assured, if it eases anybody's thoughts, this, I would say 99% chance that it's a work and it's going to lead to something down the road.
I thought the same thing. I also thought that match probably overshadowed anything else that happened on the card, including the ladder match, which was fantastic, but just did not hold up to that match. And by the time we got to Joe and Swerve, it was like, geez, I'm just kind of burnt out now, because yeah. That match was so good, and I just couldn't get into the match. And it's not that it was a bad match. It's just I was just spent after watching Will Ospreay and Brian there. So yeah, amazing match. I don't even know what to pick between this and Ospreay's last match that we were all just gushing over for match of the year. I'm probably gonna go back and watch them both again, which is not a bad thing to have that problem, to watch, you know, two matches of those caliber. Super, super fantastic matches. The show overall, from what I watched, was very good. I didn't think about the Punk stuff at all while watching this show. It was never in my mind at all. So I just enjoyed the show for the bits that I paid full attention to, which I did actually pay for and watch streaming on a giant screen, Seth. So there you go. 85-inch screen. I got to see this gigantic thing happen. So it was kind of awesome to watch an amazing match on. But yeah, really good show all around from what I saw.
And zero cracked ribs, I'm assuming, right?
No cracked ribs, perhaps a stubbed toe, but that was about it.
I will say that I did watch highlights from the scrum, and just to reiterate, Toni Storm, she took shots at WWE, she took a shot at Cody Rhodes, and she took a shot at Nikki Garcia. So she said, for all the people that talk about cinema and stories, go watch a fucking movie. And then she said Nicole Garcia wanted to come to AEW when she saw that Mercedes did. But you know why she didn't? Because she saw what I was doing, and she knows that she couldn't hold a scented candle to what I'm doing.
No.
Wow.
And then she said, and Anthony, I want to let you know, no matter how many stories I finish, I will never call you to the ring to celebrate with me. And I was like, damn.
Oh,
Tony going hard on everybody.
Jesus, I need to go find this. That sounds so amazing.
And just in case people didn't understand, Nicole Garcia, that's the former Nikki Bella.
Now I want to see Toni Storm versus Nikki Garcia. But, you know, that's not going to happen. But anyway, so predictions. Predictions. Seth, 9-3, not too shabby. 21 points. I went 10-2 for 27 points. And the guy who probably has shows upon shows on his DVR and doesn't really watch on a regular basis has to catch up when it's pay-per-view time and try to guess what text-based results are telling him. Went 12-0.
Yeah, boy.
For 30 points. Unbelievable.
I have exactly 6 shows on my DVR waiting to be watched.
Exactly. Yep. All right. So year to date through Dynasty, I am 37-6 for an 860 winning percentage on 128 points. Jarrett closes the gap 35-8, only 2 wins and losses behind me. Winning percentage of 814 and 115 points. Seth is 29-14, a winning percentage of 674 and 90.5 points. The next PLE will be Backlash, which is a week from Saturday, May 4th. Yes, Star Wars Day.
Jesus, if we don't all go perfect on this, there's something wrong.
For Backlash? Well, considering there's only 2 matches right now.
But, I mean, you know, it's always like Backlash is the filler, right? After WrestleMania, it's kind of like that little, you know, yeah, you have dinner, right? You have the feast of WrestleMania. And then, you know, Backlash is a little sip of coffee before you have dessert. So, yeah, this isn't going to be like, this should all just be super straightforward and we should all get this and just watch. I'm going to go like 1-6 now, but we should, we should all get this.
I think the only way that happens is if you completely disagree with logic.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Moving on to Monday Night Raw recap. And I'm going to go through this probably quicker than I should, but bear with me. We had an in-ring segment to kick off the show between Damian Priest and Jey Uso, basically hyping up their match coming up at Backlash. We had Awesome Truth defeating DIY, which I did not like. I assumed this was going to be the short reign for Awesome Truth. And they sure weren't going to give the comedy team a victory over DIY, but that's exactly what they did. But they teased a Tommaso heel turn afterwards. So I will forgive in lieu of storytelling. We had a backstage segment with the Judgment Day as Damian Priest was ready to lay down the law and tell people that they need to get their shit together, basically. Dominic walks in with Santos Escobar, and Dom is in a sling. This is a legit injury. He is injured, like Mommy, like Poppy, both with arm injuries. So Dom has taken it upon himself to go to Pierce, and he's gotten Santos to replace him in the tag match with JD against Ricochet and Andrade later on in the show. JD's not really happy about it. Priest sure as shit isn't happy about it. Finn's nowhere to be seen. And that is how we leave this segment. We have an in-ring segment with Imperium that is eventually interrupted by the New Day. Basically, in this segment, Gunther says that he is not going to complain about WrestleMania. He elevated the title. He elevated himself, yet he is one of the longest and greatest reigning Intercontinental Champions of all time. But that means now he goes from the hunted to the hunter, and he declares himself for King of the Ring, where once he wins King of the Ring, he will put every champion on notice. And based on the interruption from New Day, Xavier says, as defending King of the Ring, he also is throwing his name in the tournament as well. So we have two people declaring thus far. And then that leads to the New Day versus Imperium of Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser. And New Day defeats Imperium. Afterwards, Gunther is disgusted. He walks off, and Kaiser is trying to console Vinci as they both exit the ring. And then Kaiser turns on Vinci and basically annihilates him pillar to post. He does that same spot he did to Kofi Kingston, where he has Giovanni draped over the stairs. He runs the half circumference of the ring and drop kicks his head into the stairs. It's interesting how they're teasing these turns and executing turns and stables having problems the week heading into the draft, which means that these guys are probably getting separated. We then had a vignette promo with Andrade, and they give Andrade the similar treatment as Shinsuke Nakamura's. They allow him to speak in Spanish and run captions underneath. That's probably best for everybody. We then had an in-ring segment with Drew McIntyre, who's eventually interrupted by Sheamus. Drew is greeted with CM Punk chants, and he says that, why do you guys continuously cheer for Punk? He doesn't care for you guys. He hates the fans, and the only person he hates more than the fans is himself. And then they change to what chants, to which Drew counters by saying, say what if you French kiss your cousin? And some people say, what? And he goes, you guys are sick. Sheamus comes out and he basically says, exactly. He basically says that Drew needs to stop blaming everybody and take some responsibility for his own actions. And he says he's known him for 20 years. And he's, you know, last year they got into it and they would have banger after banger after banger after banger matches. And because of the social media outcry of Sheamus not being in ring shape, Drew says, you know, it used to be banger after banger after banger, but by the looks of things, it's actually burger after burger after burger, to which Sheamus laughs it off and says, hey, fella, I can always lose the weight. You can't lose stupid. So basically then it's leading into a match of Sheamus versus Shinsuke, but Drew says, I'm going to go down and stand at that announce table and watch your back. Now, the sentence in and of itself is, I'm going to go down there and watch your back. But the way he put the emphasis on watch your back was kind of like telling him to watch your back, because i.e. you can't trust me type of thing. And Sheamus kind of gave him a look like, meh. So that will be interesting. I'm always up for a Sheamus-Drew feud, so I'm okay with that. Sheamus defeated Shinsuke. Backstage segment with Sami Zayn, who's interrupted by Bronson Reed, saying he wants a title shot. Sami says anytime, anywhere. Bronson destroys him backstage. And that's that. In-ring segment, Chad Gable and Alpha Academy, where Chad basically explains what he did, why he did what he did to Sammy last week. And he says that he needs to be focused on himself because he would be Intercontinental Champion if he didn't waste time training Sami Zayn and if he didn't waste time dealing with losers, meaning Alpha Academy. So then he insults Tozawa. He insults Maxine, saying she's pretty as a princess, but dumb as a box of rocks. And then he gets to Otis and he says, you are the biggest disappointment of all, but we're all going to stay together and we're going to focus on Gable from now on. And we are going to work on getting my Intercontinental title. And Otis reluctantly agrees. And basically, so now it's Gable and the three misfits. So I don't know how long that's going to last, but we'll have to see how it plays out. Backstage segment, Ricochet and Dom Mysterio, where Ricochet is expressing to Dom how he's disappointed that he's not going to get to beat him up. and Dom just, you know, tries to act all cool, and Ricochet walks off to prepare for their match, and Dom turns around right into a face off with Liv Morgan. They don't have any expressions on their face. Nothing is said. They just stare at each other, and that's the end of that. So seed planting. And then we had Ricochet and Andrade defeat JD and Santos. After the match, Damian Priest comes out and lays waste to Ricochet and Andrade, says something to Dom in Spanish, and then JD says, "What did he say? I don't speak the language. What did he say?" And Damian said, and this is all off mic, but Damian says, "You want to know what I told him? I told him that you guys need me. I don't need you." And he walks off. So Judgment Day kind of falling apart, and Damian looks like he's distancing himself from the group.
And I think I can add with that, it's probably also just planting some seeds when Rhea comes back.
Right. It's all tied in. Yeah. Backstage, Indy and Candace are being interviewed, and they cut away to a Liv and Nia Jax brawl backstage, and then Becky Lynch just casually walks by, takes the mic from Jackie Redmond, kind of like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have done previously, and the camera follows Becky all the way to the end, her entrance, and she actually gives a pep talk to Maxine Dupri as she passes them backstage. She says, "This is your first ever title opportunity, right?" And Maxine says, "Yes." She goes, "You go out there and you show them why this won't be your last." And then she continues on with her entrance. So Becky continuing to elevate people as she is able to. Then we had the main event, which was the Battle Royal to determine a new women's world champion. And the final three were Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, and Becky Lynch. And Liv and Becky teamed up to get rid of Nia. And then Becky and Liv battled on the apron outside the ropes where they both went over already. And Becky hits a manhandle slam on the ring apron. Liv bounces off into the floor. And your new women's world champion, 7-time champion, Becky Lynch. And that was Monday Night Raw.
Yep. And again, I think it's planting seeds for Rhea to come back, because obviously Rhea beat Becky at Mania. So the story kind of tells itself there.
Well, not having seen it from your description, Josh, I'm digging that. I think they're finally going to go places with Judgment Day here and take that step to breaking them up with Priest winning the title. I always thought that was inevitable. And, you know, with the injuries to Rhea and Dom, it just kind of makes sense to do it now and really get behind Priest as champ. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, I can't wait to get back and watch the show on DVR and see all the little details.
I like the little segment with Dom and Liv, and it would be hilarious if Liv weaseled her way into Dom's heart, so to speak, and then subsequently into Judgment Day or whatever is left of it. And then Rhea comes back and she could be like, "You took my man, you took my club, you took my title," assuming that Liv were to beat Becky down the road. I'm more interested in seeing Rhea and Liv than I am Rhea and Becky, because we already had that. So, and this would set Rhea up to be a monster babyface.
Yep.
Which she was already trending towards that way anyway.
Yeah, your scenario would make much more sense with Liv heel now.
Yeah.
And comes back big baby face, and oh yeah.
Yeah, the report was that Becky was to take time off to be with family, but because of Rhea's injury, they asked her to come back, kind of hold the title until they can get Liv's story established. That's the running theory anyway. And then you have Liv beat Becky at some point, and then, like I said, she would have Dom, she'd have the title, she'd maybe have the stable. So we'll have to see. And then we had NXT Spring Breaking Night 1. And we had an NXT Women's Title Triple Threat match where Roxanne Perez defeated Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley in a good match. The D'Angelo family defeated the No Quarter Catch Crew. Jada Parker defeated Fallon Henley. We had a contract signing for the NXT Underground match, which will take place on night two of Spring Breakin' next week, between Natalya and Lola Vice. Now, Lola Vice comes from an MMA background, and she just recently got into wrestling. And Natalya, of course, has the dungeon background and all her experience. Natalya will be seconded by Carmen Petrovic, a fellow Canadian. And the mystery of the contract signing was who was going to be Lola Vice's second heading into NXT Underground. And her second slash trainer is Shayna Baszler, Natalya's former trainee and tag team partner. So we have that going into night two next week. We had a beach brawl match where Sol Ruka defeated Blair Davenport, gaining some revenge on Blair taking her out last year. Alexis King defeated Baron Corbin. And the main event was for the NXT World title between Ilya Dragunov, the champion, defending against Trick Williams. And if Trick loses, he has to leave NXT. So this was interesting because all throughout the show, they had brought in main roster stars to either give their opinion on the match or give pep talks to certain people. They had Johnny Gargano giving Trick a pep talk backstage. They had the Creed brothers and Ivy Nile come in, give their thoughts. They had Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne there. So Damian Priest made an appearance. I thought it was very cool that they gave this a huge big fight feel by having lots of main roster people on the show that they were interested in the outcome of this match. And in the main event, Trick Williams defeats Ilya Dragunov by surviving three H-bombs and hitting him with the trick shot to become the new NXT World Champion. And this was so well done because after the victory and everything, they kind of panned back and the camera guy, you could tell, was shaking the camera a little bit to make it look like the place was shaking with excitement. It wasn't, but it was a cool effect anyway. Just a really well done main event. And you knew this was going to happen because Ilya is probably going to get drafted to one of the main shows. And so dropping the title here makes sense. Plus, you could have said, well, if Trick loses, he was going to get drafted. But the reports were is that because of the draft, they wanted to get their next level of people elevated. And the summer feud is reportedly going to be Trick Williams versus Dijak. So putting the title on Trick here made sense. And I will reiterate something I've already said previously, is it is amazing how they've transformed Trick Williams to when he debuted with Carmelo Hayes as his sidekick, however many months and years ago, to at that point where I was like, who is this Jamoke? To me being fully invested in Trick Williams now and happy for him that he won the title. Just amazing character development and well done by Shawn Michaels and NXT.
Amazing what happens when you do it right, huh?
Yeah, you don't overcomplicate things.
Character development and storytelling. Who knew?
It's like if they gave us reason to be invested in characters and want to watch them develop and grow and do things and tell stories. And it's like, wow, shocker.
It can work for you too. All right. Well, we have Dynamite coming up this week, which I promise we will do a normal show on Dynamite this week, just before we get to the draft night one on SmackDown. And next week, of course, will be draft night two on Monday Night Raw. Any final thoughts?
Well, if you haven't done so, I'll repeat. Go watch the Dynasty pay-per-view, and people are saying that the Ospreay Danielson match was like worth the cost of the pay-per-view alone. I guess I wouldn't go that far, but definitely one of the best pay-per-views in probably a couple of years.
Well, now I have a reason to get caught up. I mean, to see all the stories, you know, as they were going into Dynasty, I get through that. But now AEW is going to be here, not tomorrow as we record this, but next week. So I'll be live. I'll be probably front row on the hard cam, not ringside, but where the boards actually start. So I'll be just over top of all the mutants in the front. So I'll be probably on camera all night long. So yay. I'm sorry. But it should be a fun night. Always is. And, saw today that they're giving us a Kenny Omega appearance. Don't think it means he's going to wrestle, but probably a promo.
At least, you know, it won't be a Rock / Toronto promo.
Right.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/ behind the squared circle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at the Bacon Rev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax, and you can follow Josh at Southpaw Josh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.